book's titled Small Miracles because it is the small temptations, the small miracles, the small things matter.
I liked the book. I was actually kind of shocked how much I did by the end. The central question that this book asks is, do you need a little sin? Do you need a little bit of vice to actually lead a happy, good life?
Right.
Is it actually bad to be totally virtuous?
Mm-hmm. You're having trouble with acronyms. I have trouble with wiener and pronouncing things.
You do
like
have
that.
Trouble with wiener.
Goddamn.
Welcome everyone to the Tutor Round Podcast. My name is Richard.
My name is, what's my name, Rich? What is it?
Justin, right?
Oh, I thought it would have been a small miracle if you remembered my name.
Yeah, that, there you go. How cute are you?
I'm Austin. All right.
Today we're doing another book review like we do every week, or at least trying to do every week. Mm-hmm. We're roughly on that schedule. Today is Small Miracles by Olivia Atwood. This is the winner of the, let me get this right, S-P-F-B-O.
Oh my God, he got it.
Yay!
Another small miracle. Wow.
That is a little miracle that I actually get an acronym correct.
S-P-F-B-O.
This is the winner of the eighth year of the award, and we are doing, if you're not aware, we are judging the Contest of Champions. So all of the past winners of the SFF.
No.
SFP.
It's
SPFBO.
Correct.
Thank you.
Which stands for?
Don't make me. No. None of that. Don't bring me down.
Self-published fantasy blog off. Yes.
Yes.
And so it's self-published indie books. Yep.
We're judging we're judging all the best books.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the best of the best? And mm-hmm. So this being one of the winners, we are ranking these books to see which one comes out on top.
Mm-hmm.
This book, if we're going to be talking about it for next 10, 15 minutes-ish, spoiler-free, see if you were interested in reading this book, whether you should or not. And then we're going to go right into spoilers, all the little juicy details of what we really didn't like and what we did like about it.
Absolutely. And yeah, since this one, it was number 8 in the competition. The competition's been going on for 10 years. So this was the wiener in 2022.
It was the wiener.
The wiener in 2022. I see, you're having trouble with acronyms. I have trouble with wiener and pronouncing things.
You do
like
have
that.
Trouble with wiener.
Goddamn. So.
I want that clip. No. I want that as a soundbite.
Let's not do that.
We have a little soundboard. I could just play that at any time.
We should make a soundboard of funny things, though.
We should.
That would be fun. But this book is by the author Olivia Atwater. And
I got it wrong. Sorry, not Atwood. Atwater.
Oh, did you say Atwood?
I did say Atwood.
Yeah, it's Olivia Atwater. And it's a cozy fantasy reminiscent and inspired by Good Omens. So if you've read anything by Sir Terry Pratchett as well, that kind of Discworld vibe, and we'll talk about, hey, quality is as good as Discworld book. That's another conversation, but that is the similar vein, and that is the genre, subgenre, and category it's going for. And Small Miracles, Rich, do you want to give a little bit of a plot intrigue, the inciting incident of what is the book about?
Yeah, so basically you're following a minor fallen angel called Gadriel, not Gabriel, Gadriel, mm-hmm. the fallen angel of minor temptations. This angel goes around trying tempting mortals into eating one more piece of chocolate.
Just one more.
Or, you know, delay a little bit at work. You know, leave work 5 minutes early. The minor temptations of life. And one day, her friend Angel, I'm going to butcher this name. I have no idea how to pronounce it, but I think it's fair. It's a hard word. Barachiel is the other angel. Did I get it right?
Barachiel?
Barachiel?
That's how I said it in my head. Yeah.
Fair enough. Mm. Anyway, Barachiel has...
I could be wrong.
Is pulling in a favor. Pulling in, has a debt, and gives our main character, Gadriel, a mission to take this little moral here and get this goody-two-shoes to sin just a little bit, to hopefully enjoy life a little bit more.
Yeah, this goody-two-shoes, Holly Harker, is this aunt who is just too good. She has not sinned enough. Yep. And we need our tempter to just say, hey Holly, how about you just eat the chocolate?
Yeah.
And you need to make this person's sin counter go up. They're too virtuous.
Yep. And ultimately the story goes from there, goes more into the idea of found family. What is the nature of love? Is it the feeling? Is it actions? All of these great stuff. That's what it's about. Spoiler-free thoughts about the book itself. I liked the book. I was actually kind of shocked how much I did by the end. I think overall, my spoiler-free rating is a 3.5. The rest of my scores can be seen here if you want to see the rest of them. And for Austin, what did you think of the book?
I gave it a 2.25, really disappointing, but it's a me problem with this book. My general thoughts for this is I will recommend this book to people, but it's not a book for me. And so I'm not going to say this book is flawed or bad or there's issues with it. It's more so the emotional parts of this book and the humor and those beats did not land for me. However, saying all that, so when I was reading this book and maybe to help somebody as they're reading this to not have the headspace I had, as I was reading it, it just reminded me of better books that I've read with this humor and this style. You know, the book has footnotes. It's very reminiscent of Discworld. And I wish I could have enjoyed it and appreciated it more. Obviously, nobody wants to not enjoy a book as they're reading it. But I'll say that at the same time, if here's my category breakdown down below, it's kind of a mess because my emotional reaction is very low. However, the actual qualities of the book when it comes to character work and plot work, it's well done. It's ties together. There's not issues with it. It's just, will this tone of cozy fantasy and the jokes that are thrown at you work? And for me, the style of prose and the jokes being told just didn't land. But at the same, I could appreciate, like, okay, I see the good in the book. So That's where it is for me. But for you, you enjoyed it. You would recommend to people and yourself.
Yeah. There was a point in the book that if my credits are the reason why my score is not particularly higher is for the first half of the book, I was not particularly invested into the book. It was fine, but things were not landing as well for me. There was a particular chapter about halfway through the book that it started to click, and I became invested in these characters, and I really enjoyed it throughout the book, and the ending landed for me. So that is a big reason why I would recommend this book and why I liked it.
The ending does pay off, and if I wasn't as emotionally disconnected, I could see this being a book I like too. Mm-hmm. But we'll get that, and when we get into spoilers, we'll give our specific reasons as to why that's there. Yep. But most importantly, where does this rank in our current books? Because so far we've read, this is our fifth one in the SPFBO of the 10 we have to rank, and with your score of a 3.5, my score of a 2.5, let me tally that together, 3.5 plus 2.25, you know, it's out of 24, so 5.75.
Yep.
Is our total. And our Murder at the Spindle Manor review was a 2.5. So this was fourth overall.
Yeah, that's about where I would want to put it as well.
So that's perfect right there. Because our current ranking then goes Sword of Kaigan, number one, By Blood by Salt, number two, Orchonomics, number three, Small Miracles, number four, and Murder at the Spindle Manor, number five. That's our current ranking. And because Murder at the Spindle Manor, I gave 1.75, you gave 2.5. That total is less than this. So yeah. Okay. That's where we're at. This is our fourth best so far of the ones we've read. And
fantastic.
Of the five, I think we're both in agreement that's where the five should be.
Exactly. No,
we vary on our individual score, but
I agree on the order.
Correct. Yes, I agree too. Okay. Anything else you want to say warn people about, get people invested in before we go to spoilers?
Yeah, other things that people would be reminded of, if you've watched the show The Good Place. The system, the world, feels a lot like it. A lot of the point system of, you know, your sin counter, that's very, very similar to The Good Place, the way angels work and things like that. You also have, so if you're a big fan of The Good Place, if you're a big fan of Terry Pratchett, if you're a big fan of Good Omens, this is definitely a book you should check out. All right. Now let's get into spoilers.
Spoiler warning. You're being warned.
Yep. All right. Spoilers. What did you give Emotional Impact?
It's my lowest score by far. 1.5. Bad.
Oof.
Yep.
What did you find bad about it? What's the
what,
worst?
What's your score as well?
I just wanted to harp in on you.
Make easy for Nick to have them both displayed.
Oh, fair enough.
Make it a little easy for him. What would you give it?
A 3.5.
Okay, good.
It went along the set. Yeah.
Got it.
So I thought it was good. I'll help you out. I'll start off the negativity.
I always give you a softer landing. I always know you can reel it in for me. Thank you.
I'm going to give you a softer landing here. So ultimately, the reason why it landed me, for half the book, I was not as emotionally invested into it. The humor of the book was hit or miss for me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get big chuckles out of it. There were a couple jokes that worked, but overall, the humor was not the thing that landed. It was the emotional weighty moments did land for me, especially midpoint, a couple scenes before the end, and then the actual finale landed. That's where my emotional attachment was. The jokes itself, hit or miss. And I imagine for you, like, the humor itself was just a big miss for you.
Yeah, for the drama moment you're talking about, like, in the middle is the scene where Holly is talking about not having a good relationship with her sister before her sister died and passed away.
Yes.
And her sister leaving behind Ella. Who Ella and the friction between Ella and Holly, but Holly just having feeling this immense guilt for not having more remorse over her sister's death.
Well, not miss, but the fact that she does not miss her sister and doesn't actually mourn her sister's death, and she's taking care of her sister's child, and so there's that immense guilt there of That was the little catalyst moment of like, oh, there's actually some heart here. There's something more juicy than just cozy fantasy and some jokes. So that's what I really enjoyed.
I can see that. Yeah.
Tie that into of the writing of the book is well done, where the dialogue actually lends to these weighty moments where it lands properly. There's a lot of these moments could have been, you know, the same concept, same ideas written in a poor manner would come across as cringy. And this felt more heartfelt. So
the emotional moments hit for you.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. Yeah. The big miss for me was the humor and the repeated jokes and the style. A lot of the footnotes, too, seemed out of place or more obviously reminiscent of Discworld, where if Discworld has footnotes that make some joke or some world building element. And these were more so. Every joke that was made or every repeated thing that happened, I just didn't like. I don't know how else to say it other than I was not invested in the vibe. And even as the story went on of the plot being well done and me recognizing like, oh, I should like this. I recognized, got it. Like, this is the good stuff. Mm-hmm. Just was not hitting at all. It was more of a chore to read for me, but it's okay. If I could get specific about something, it's humor subjective. We try to be funny in here. People won't laugh at us, you know, but there was a joke about NFTs that happened at one time, like a side joke about NFTs, you know, wood puns, which I love puns. The puns just didn't work for me in this one.
I like the wood puns.
I know. I wanted to like the wood puns. I'm a pun fan too. So I was so disappointed going like, dang, it's just, maybe this was part of it because I didn't know. I guess I know I'm not the target audience for this, but as the book was being told to me, it felt like it was trying to tackle two audiences, and I couldn't decide which one to put my headspace in. Of, do I put my headspace more in like the kids kind of style and thought, like the rebellious teenager school and that kind of vibe of like, I don't know, I'm thinking like a classic 80s film, like a Ferris Bueller's Day. Do I put myself in the head of the kid or the head of, you know, a protagonist, Gadriel and Holly? And so it felt like we were dealing with adult issues and coming of age issues. And I never knew, like, which style of humor is it going for. You know, like, they would make the joke of, instead of bitch, called Birch, you know, talking about the wood puns. I could never figure out, like, all right, do I get in the, which headspace should I be in right now? And so the jokes weren't landing for me exactly. So I didn't know whether to be like, is that age, not age appropriate, but is this, I never knew what vibe to kind of check in with. I was getting a little bit knee-jerked of like, who should I be right now?
Interesting.
And well, I'm me being Austin and reading the book going like, it's not hitting for me. I was just trying to see, oh, who is this for? So I can like appreciate it more, you know?
Fair enough. I like the Del Taco or whatever Del meme, Taco, the girl. Why not both? I think it landed pretty well of like, you know, the more adult, like trying to raise a rebellious teenager, but also you get to empathize with Ella and her angst and angst is the wrong word really, but her trauma she's going through of like very recently losing her mother and dealing with that. And then her being an outsider. So I think it handled both of a coming of age and dealing with loss. And then also the new responsibilities of a, you know, frustrated parent. I think it did both of those really well, but they were different tones. Yes.
Yeah.
So the jokes did not particularly land for you. What about those emotional moments, the more weighty moments of Holly admitting she had that she doesn't miss her sister?
Mm-hmm.
The moments where her in the bathroom with Ella and basically unloading on her.
Yep.
And something that she really wished she hadn't done. Ella finally coming to Gadriel's office and talking with her. Like, how did those emotional scenes land with you? That I imagine they didn't land for you. Why did those things not work?
Probably because, and I don't want to be too negative, Nancy, because I didn't emotionally connect. So I want to see why you liked it too.
Okay.
But I know people are going to be watching the Small Miracles review. It's a small indie book. If you're watching this, you probably like it. So, but I'll say, okay, as soon as I started reading the book, like I knew where this, I knew the ending of the book when starting the book. Mm-hmm. And so it's all about the journey when it comes to a book like this. And most books are like, how exciting is the journey to get there? And I recognize too much of, like I was saying in the spoiler free review of the Discworld-esque books of, it kept reminding me of things that I like better than what I'm currently reading. So whether it was the humor that I'm just going, it's a lesser, you know, it's a less humorous version of Discworld books I like, or whether it's talking about when we'll get into the themes, which I appreciate, or any of those plot beats, those emotional depth moments, it reminds me of all the coming of age films and books that I love of this. Okay. It's packaged differently. It's a neat, we got the angel of the small minor temptations, and I like it, it weaves together and is done well. It just keeps reminding me of better examples that I've come across. So when I was reading this, it's maybe more of a, not a fatigue, but maybe a problem. Like, I feel like I've seen this before, so this isn't impress me book, like as if it has to. But that's part of why those emotional moments maybe didn't hit as much, because as soon as the book starts, I see, okay, we got this character, Holly, who is very nice and kind, but has this deep-rooted, this rebellious teen that no longer has her parents, and how is their relationship going to mend and form? And you could put two together. Ah, I see the small temptations angel is there. And like, you can, not that predictability is a bad thing, but maybe that didn't help in my emotional investment. I was just trying to get through the book rather than enjoying it. And I think the thing that would have helped is if I'm enjoying the humor. Yeah. Okay, it's fun to read as I'm seeing this devolve, but just nothing was hidden for me. But for you, why did it? Because you've seen these stories before as well. It's not like,
yeah,
it's not like people are reading this going, whoa, oh my God, the family's coming together. No way. So yeah, no, tell me why those scenes hit and what particular scenes
nothing
hit.
In here is particularly new. You're right, where like I would even agree with you if I was to compare the footnote style humor in here compared to Discworld. Yeah, I think Discworld lands them better. But just compare, like, the fact that I have seen stuff like this before did not and better examples, you're right, didn't particularly bother me.
That's good.
I think especially mainly because I started locking in with the characters at a certain point, and I was there for them, and they carried me through, even if the plot, the structure, the humor was maybe not my favorite ever, it still landed. But that was, I think that's the main key, because about half of the book, I'm probably with you, of like going, eh, it just wasn't landing. Yeah. And then it did.
That's good. Yeah, because as we were getting repeated jokes and things that were coming back, I appreciated how it tied together in the plot. So the chocolate stealing from the fridge, for example. Okay, it actually is important in the plot, and then which makes it nice and neat. But those kind of repeated situations or the sitcom-esque humor, Yeah, just never really was landing. And it was repeating the jokes, the same jokes that I was supposed to laugh at the first time again and again, or just situational comedy that just kept appearing that was not working.
Many of those jokes didn't work in the beginning for me, but by the end it did.
Warmed up to you. It warmed up to me. You started to invest in the characters. Yeah.
I mean, I think it works. It works a lot like a chorus in a song. Mm-hmm. Is people, most humans do like repetition, and like that's often the favorite part of a song is the chorus, is because you know it, you know what's coming. And I think that it doesn't always work, of course, in a story, but this time it did for me.
Good, yeah.
Even if the first couple times, like the angels wearing genders as a skin suit and like as they wear clothes, first couple times didn't really land for me. Of like, I thought it was like, first was like, that kind of makes sense. You know, the angels, I get it. But it wasn't particularly funny. At a certain point, it became funny for me. You say something enough times, you beat me over the head with a joke. It got through.
Gotcha.
That's all. Yeah, it worked. There was a particular moment where that joke really landed for me. Of
which time? Yeah.
When Gadriel saw Mrs. Wood, the, you know, third calamity, and trying to get out of the conversation, they're walking. He's like, we're both women here. I better go change, and trying to get out of it. I was like, that's funny. Trying to use the we're matching and we shouldn't be matching. That worked.
Yeah.
I got a chuckle. But okay.
Yeah, that definitely didn't work for me. the first time the joke was told, I was like, I see. It's like, okay, it's like clothes. Got it. That's the joke. Yeah. All right, there it is again.
Yeah, I understand. It's a joke repetitive. It's very repetitive.
Yeah, I'm going like, all right. All right, like it's mentioned like a lot, and then there's other jokes like the chocolate thing and others that are just throughout that just, you know, when it's not landing the first time and it gets repeated. And also, this is unfair to say too, because like how can you compare to Discworld or Terry Pratchett? But all this stuff is very, you know, one layer deep of, you know, it's just the in your face, like either, oh, it's a funny thing or not. Is it doing multiple things at once? Is it both humorous, moving forward the plot, doing all these interesting, but it's really just kind of the face value. Mm-hmm. Kind of humor. So again, sorry, just didn't work for me. That's it. But we can talk more substantive about the other stuff. But yep. Which want to get into thought provokingness?
Thought provoking nature. What did you give it?
3 stars.
3 stars. Yeah. Neutral.
Yeah, yeah.
I gave it 3.75. I think it's really good.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially with these things, this is a very difficult, difficult subject to get, and that how it was landed was really well done. I especially appreciate the. I think one of the central themes is love is a choice. Love is a combination. It's not just your warm and fuzzy feelings. Love is being there, showing up, even when you may not feel it, you show it. And how that's landed in this story of, I really appreciated the moment where Gadriel is not even using the angel magic to really get to Ella. Just remind, like, all she has to do is show her the cupcake. And it's not a temptation. It's not a magical switch. It's just the reminder of remember all the times that your aunt over these past 6 months has been there for you, has shown up. There was no magic required. It was Holly. It was Holly's work of maybe she isn't perfect. She doesn't say all the right things. But the lies being told of like no one loves you, no one's there for you, like there's proof. No, I do remember. I remember all the times of my aunt baking me chocolate sweets, even though she doesn't like chocolate, because she's there. I think that that's a great way to land that message. Showed so good. I love that. So that was the bigger theme for me. Mm-hmm. What did you think about that?
Yeah, I think that was one of the big ones of. I guess the book's titled Small Miracles because it is the small temptations, the small miracles, the small things matter.
Yeah.
Right. And the big confrontation between Gadriel and the
Wormwood.
Wormwood, yes. Yeah. The big confrontation there. I do have this paragraph that maybe speaks to what you were saying there, where you have
it
as well.
I have it too.
You want to read it off? Yeah.
I think I'll read it off.
Go for it. Yeah. Yeah.
Someday the whole world will end.
That's the quote. Yep.
Yeah. Someday the whole world will end, she told him. On that day, you'll streak across the sky like a comet, and everyone will look at you in despair. She reached up to close her hand around Wormwood's wrist, pulling his hand from her face. But creation wasn't made to despair, Wormwood. There's an awful lot that's still going to happen between now and that last dreadful moment. There are small lives being lived and small triumphs being had, and small people enjoying their favorite red velvet cupcakes. And all those small things still have meaning, even if they someday have to end. Gadriel smiled at the third calamity. Those small things all belong to me. I have decided to fall in love with them again, and you can't have them. The key there is the decision. Mm-hmm. I have decided to fall in love with them. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot.
Yeah, and it's about those small things mattering and mm-hmm. Gadriel realizing that again and being able to be with humans, even though the humans aren't going to be there forever.
Yep.
It's worth it. Which
such a good message.
It is. I'll say the positives first because I'm in the middle about it. But yeah, positive, good message, and also ties in with the entire story so far and all the plot elements of it. It brings it full circle from the beginning of this of Gadriel always being a fallen angel in the first place because of giving into the break, being a little bit of a rule breaker in the first place of
caring about the small things of life and going like why. Disagreeing with the higher ups, you know, God and the rules mm-hmm. and this, like, the system is not to ignore the small things for the greater good idea. Mm-hmm. Heavily disagreeing with that, saying, hey, these small details matter. A little bit of chocolate at the end of the day actually does matter. Why is this a sin?
Yeah.
Things like that.
And right.
Yeah, the fact that that's tied together from the beginning is really well done.
Yes, and you have the little bit of rule breaking, the rebellious teen who then turns around and is actually dealing with her mother's grief, or sorry, with her mother's death and grieving over that. So there's a lot to appreciate there. Yeah, mm-hmm.
there's I want to say like
the holidays are coming up fast and it's time to shop, but actually have some fun doing it.
Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else.
On uncommongoods.com, they provide art, games, books, DIY kits, home accents, and all sorts of accessories. What makes them unique is that about half of their assortment is handmade by independent artists and artisans.
Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. For moms, dads, teens, from book lovers to history buffs to anyone who hit their quarter life crisis and started running marathons.
Excuse me. Okay, well, that's my better half, Nicole. She's one of those marathon runners, and I got her a gift from the site. I ordered this custom metal holder for all the races she completes, where there's also a place to put her personal records on there. I'd never seen custom built case like this before, and so I got her the gift, and I'm gonna surprise her with it.
Yeah. Hey, every time you purchase something from Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Also, every purchase you make, Uncommon Goods gives $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice.
So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off of your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/2toramble. That's uncommongoods.com/2toramble for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
I think that was that's the principal theme of this book.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is it? What else additional aspects of this book does this book go into?
Maybe it's comparing what is a vice and what is actually sinful, what is actually virtuous, and touches on that a little bit of what should you be docked half a point for?
And I think that the central question that this book asks is, do you need a little sin? Do you need a little bit of vice to actually lead a happy, good life?
Right.
Is it actually bad to be totally virtuous?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that idea?
Yeah, no, I saw that too, and that was that's definitely seen through Holly the most of all, because Holly's the one that is quote unquote corrupted, but giving these temptations. Actually, the big theme that I appreciated too was how Gadriel, like you're saying, Gadriel is teaching Holly how to tempt her niece in the first place with music,
yeah.
and using this of, hey, you have to like use this temptation, use this to your advantage so you can build a relationship with your niece. So it's using that tool of the small vices, the small temptations to, you know, does that is that means wrong in the first place, but justifying the end, mm-hmm. that, hey, build a relationship through these small temptations. That's where I saw it come through the most, through Holly's point of view of that character being a vessel for that message of it is not wrong sometimes to do the things that might be considered wrong, even just a little bit wrong. Mm-hmm. These small little things, and first off, why is that wrong in the first place? Why is chocolate wrong?
Yeah. Or
is it, but it doesn't really get into that. It's more talking about, hey, just eating the chocolate might not be the end of the world.
Yeah, the little indulgences, mm-hmm. and how, because the idea of vice being the more going past a certain point of mm-hmm. where it becomes gluttony.
Yep.
And so chocolate is so luxurious, so nice. It's like even a small piece is gluttonous. That's, yeah. I guess, the idea for this book.
That really resonated?
Not as much as the first one.
Okay.
It was just something to mull
something
over.
There, yeah.
I don't know if I fully agree with the like overarching concept, mm-hmm. but the idea of, it's mainly that idea is combating, I think, a straw man idea of virtue and vice. And so within that straw man structure, I agree.
Mm.
I don't know if that exists. You know, like if there really was a point system where, you know, you're docked points for a piece of chocolate. It's mm-hmm. like, yeah, I'm with you. I agree. But like, yeah. is that actually vice? I don't know if anyone would really agree with that. So mm-hmm. fair enough.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But overall, really good themes for you.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll leave it at that. Just
neutral.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Neutral. I'll leave it at that. Okay. What about characters for you?
Characters, I gave a 3.25, above average.
I have a higher category than you.
Oh.
Give it a 3.5.
There you go.
I thought these characters were good. Funny enough, yeah.
Yeah, there
man,
you go.
Man, why am I higher than you in this category now?
I don't
all of a
know.
Sudden? Yeah, this was a stronger suit of the story. I thought they were well done, yeah.
The main thing is half the book, I was not really invested in these characters, mm-hmm. and most of the side characters are fine, but ultimately I found many of them replaceable. That was mm-hmm. where I'm at. By the end of the story, I mean, I liked basically our three main characters of Gadriel, Holly, and Ella. They worked really well, but everyone else, nah. So above average to me.
Why do you think that? So this story is being told from Gadriel's point of view, but what makes Gadriel the one that has to tell this story? Why Gadriel? Why is Gadriel our point of view?
It's the difference of the lesson of it being all the small little things in life, and the fact that she's the fallen angel of small temptations. It just works really well together of you have why this person can actually identify with both, you know, Ella, the rebellious teen, you know, this is the rebellious angel and the right amount of rebellious, not actually wanting to destroy humans, but just like, hey, I don't think all of these rules are the best. Like, they can have chocolate. Hot chocolate is not a sin. That's the central thing that Gadriel disagrees with. So she seems to be the perfect person to deliver that message and connect with Ella. Same thing of the right person for Holly, because ultimately Holly is a very good person. You don't want to fully corrupt her. Like, no, she needs to be selfish. No, it's just like, enjoy some little moments. Not everything needs to be about someone else. You can sometimes need to take care of yourself. Seems like the right person for the job. So that's why it worked really well.
Yeah, and having Ella as the kid, be her perspective, she's the one that is being tempted by woodworm. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Wormwood.
Wormwood, yes. One being tempted by wormwood, and you see this kid going through her parents dying and pushing everybody away, that rebellious teen who is also pushing her aunt away and wants nothing to do with anybody. I like how flawed she was and just how mm-hmm. how much that it, that it was not that it was difficult to like her, but that you could so clearly that she was broken, and it all makes sense why she's broken. And it was handled very well how Ella turned around, how Ella confronted in the end her parents' death and grief through the lessons that Gadriel teaches. And
that's a fine line, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Of often your bratty teen character can very often come across as like annoying, grating. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but in general media, the annoying kid is a common problem of like when you have the young kid and they're just a brat and you're watching it and you're just like, God, it's annoying. Just get out of my face. But Ella is not perfect, not a goody two shoes, significantly flawed, actually flawed, not these like faked flawed characters of, you know, you're told they have flaws, but actually they're great at everything. No, Ella does have an attitude problem, but it's justified to some degree, but not enough that she should apologize for her actions. And then also, she's not mean. She's not so abrasive to everyone. Like, she can be connected to, of like, she's not so abrasive to Gadriel. The fact that that relationship goes pretty quickly, of Gadriel just kind of, you know, you kind of see in the beginning of, oh, it's going to be the rebellious scene, like, ah, you know, stupid old man, I'm not going to, you know, who cares about this? You're just cringe. And Gadriel's like, I'm just going to bribe you. Do you want to get out of class? And it works. And so it works well. But it makes sense why they actually would connect very well.
And they're just well-done characters in that, like the flaws you're talking about, the flaws, wants, and needs all map out of full character arcs for each of these characters, where Holly, her flaw is really that she's just not willing to break the rules. And what's up?
You're totally right.
You're changing your score?
Yeah.
To what? Higher than me?
3.75.
God damn it.
Really good characters.
Come on.
I don't know what I was thinking. You're completely right. I was dumb. I'm so sorry, everyone. You can thank Austin here. He showed me the light.
Can I just have one score higher than yours here?
No.
But yeah, why they're so well done is they have their full complete character arcs. Like, for example, Holly's character arc is she is not willing to break the rules, and she needs to break the rules in order to build that relationship with Ella. And again, who teaches that? We talked about the stop provoking, but Gadriel teaches her that. So each person has their flaw that literally inhibits them from from getting their goal. It's like textbook, that's how to write a good character. Okay, flaw is for Holly is you're not willing to break the rules. You want relationship with your niece. How do you do that? Well, you need to learn lesson. Here's the...
But it's not just the lesson, like, by the end of it, yeah, that there's the thing that, you know, Holly actually does need to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, Holly has been doing the right thing. It isn't that she's been doing everything wrong. She actually has been doing a lot right. Mm-hmm. That's what I really enjoyed about it. It wasn't the sudden change that really pushed Ella to, you know, connect with her. It's
she's a great
her
person.
Her remembering and her being reminded of, like, no, actually, like, despite, you know, Holly being awkward, she has been there for me this entire time.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that. It's not like Holly is completely flawed. Oh, you need to come across a different approach. No, she has been doing a lot of good. I like that.
Well, that's not part of her flaw.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm glad it's not all flawed, because I find that...
No, she's a good person, yeah.
She is a good person, and part of the lesson is, like, just Ella realizing that.
Yes. So, and again, you just needed a small little thing.
Small adjustment.
And that's how the relationships form. That's it. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty great. And yeah, then we had our side characters like Millie and the friend was Beatrix.
Yep.
You have the social media mom.
That was a hit or miss. I mean, overall as a character, cringe, which is supposed to be, the mom did not land as much for me. Of like...
But you do understand, like, this is why I'm trying to be objective as possible. These characters I'm saying are straight up good.
Yeah.
Like, when I talk, like, when I'm talking about any of the humor between the characters, like, again, the social media stuff, nope.
Yeah.
But it's fine. It's fine. Like, I get it. I get that some people would find stuff like that funny. Just didn't land for me. However, served the role and the plot and everything. So sure. You have Barry. The other angel.
Barch.
Barachiel, or yes.
Barachiel.
The other angel.
The other angel, yeah.
Thoughts. And our villain as well. Thoughts on the villain.
Barachiel, like, it's fine. Mm-hmm. You don't have enough time with them to actually get to know really anything about them. They're just good. They're a little bit they feel like a little bit mischievous. They're on the mm-hmm. side of the good. They're on the side of the good angels, but clearly likes teasing Gadriel. Mm-hmm. And so it's fine.
Yeah.
I don't have, there's not much to say about him.
The book does get right, though, the main trio. The yes. important relationship, the aunt, the niece, and Gadriel, protagonist.
Yeah.
Did you want to go into plot?
Let's go on to it.
What did you give it out of 5 stars?
I did initially give it a little lower score.
What'd you give it?
I would like to update.
What was that score that you gave it? The low score.
Low score is 3.25.
I would have had higher. I give it a 3.5. Good. And you're going to change it, aren't you?
I am.
To what?
Not super high, but 3.5.
Okay, we're gonna get, I also
I am matching you of good. Like the reason I'm not going higher, and I do have mostly praises, it's I think the first half of the book was a little bit draggy, even if it does come together at the end, which is probably the most important part. I still was relatively bored for the first half, and it felt it dragged. The humor was a little repetitive at a certain point, going like, okay, when are we moving on? But again, that's why I won't go beyond good, but the ending is significantly better, and I'm really glad I read it. So everything tied together, no loose threads. Yeah, it's really good.
The A plot that's going on here, the is the micro one, the small stakes, again, quote unquote small stakes, the family drama. And then you have your B plot with the end of the world.
Kinda. Yeah.
the calamity, the third calamity, right?
Somewhat.
Somewhat. But then you have so these two plot threads going on, and they both connect very well. We have a lot of good Chekhov guns of anything that we saw throughout the book was brought together and culminated in the end. So the one bit was the chocolate, for example, of the chocolate in the fridge being taken constantly by Gadriel, and always taking it from Mrs. I forget her name exactly, but always taking it from the Mrs. And she pulls her students of, hey, bonus question, what would you do if somebody's stealing your chocolate candy? And the smart guy, sorry, his name started with a J, but says, oh, what if
O'Neill.
What if you poisoned it? She goes, let's not do that. But oh, what if you put like hot ghost peppers in it? Ah, okay. And so then our main character, Gadriel, eats it, ghost peppers. Ah. And then, wouldn't you know, also tempts the third calamity of, you know what? How about you just have some chocolate? That comes full circle of like a little cute gotcha at the end of it all came full circle.
That's one of those jokes that was kind of funny at the beginning. And then not, but each time it happened, it got funnier. I just love the
chocolate. Yeah.
Yeah, the chocolate one got funny by the end. I just love the notes. I'm like, this is the last time. Stop taking it. I'm like, that's funny.
It's a repeated joke. I'm like, all right.
But it just kept escalating stakes of it. Mm-hmm. And I like the first one of funny of like Gadriel looking through the lunchbox. It's not in there. And finding it is like, no. And finding it behind the freezer in the back. And it's like, that's funny. I liked that joke.
What did you think about any other plot threads? Because we had our Gadriel, we didn't even mention this plot time now, becoming the school therapist.
Yeah.
Getting into the school, becoming the therapist, and then handling.
Also the romance plot.
Yes.
Between Gadriel and Holly.
Yes.
Which I think was well done. I thought the, the connection there seemed genuine, grew over time. I liked it.
Yes. And the her becoming or Gadriel becoming the school counselor, not that the school counselor, being able to deal with Ella because Ella has this rebellious attitude where the first time she's introduced is she trips this other kid, Millie, mm-hmm. and they're fighting all the time, and you see they're bickering. And then you have this whole little cute subplot of making a little band.
Yeah.
You have Ella and Millie and their other
Beatrix
all making a band together, and a little squabbles between them. And
which, by the way,
mm-hmm.
Millie's in the wrong. Millie changing the band name
to
Millie and the what was it?
Millie and the Sycophants, whatever. No,
yeah, whatever. I was like,
disestablishmentarianism was way better.
It's a way better band name, but yeah, the audacity to like walk into the band and go like, nah, we're gonna change the name to my first name. Millie's in the wrong. I'm fully on Team Ella in that situation. No.
You know how many strings I had to pull to not make the name of this channel Tutor Richard? It was very difficult to walk you back from that.
Yeah, it was hard. But yeah.
You're like, you were being so Millie. And yeah, so you have a lot of these cute plot threads. And then you have the Wormwood of actually finding out what the B plot is of why Gadriel was sent here in the first place. It wasn't just to make sure Holly sins a little bit more, is tempted a little bit more. It's also, there's this subplot going on of Wormwood being there and corrupting or being the over the shoulder of Ella and but all that whole plot. How did you like how the two plots converged and were paid off by the end?
I think it just paid off really well. Especially dealing with, you know, celestial magic type thing of fate and all this. It all tied together really well of, like, the beginning of you would question, like, oh, is this debt just paid off from this small little mission? Of course, there has to be more to it.
Mm-hmm.
Why Gadriel being the minor, you know, the minor fallen angel, why she was put to the task and not I can never get this name right. Barachel?
Sure.
Whatever.
Barachiel, I think.
Barachiel.
But I also might be mispronouncing it.
I'm going to go with Barachiel. That sounds more accurate. I have no idea.
It's like Gabriel, but Barachiel. Switched the...
Barachiel, though, being this more powerful angel and not being able to succeed, mainly because Gadriel actually has this connection to humans on a, you know, a deeper level. The fact that she doesn't need to use the powers of temptation. It's just her connection with the child.
Yeah.
Worked really well. So I like all the plot well put together, except
that
the first half pacing a little slow, was not really as invested as I should have been.
What did you think about the world, Rich? World building out of 5 stars.
This is my lowest category of a 2.75.
I gave it a 2.5. Disappointing for me.
Yeah, slightly disappointing. I liked some of the elements in here of the inspirations that it's taken from. But overall, I'm not super invested in this world. It doesn't suck me into it. It's very much for the plot's sake. So it's somewhat serviceable. It's serviceable, but a little disappointed me.
Yeah,
I wanted more.
The plot here, sorry, the world building here, you have this school setting, modern setting as well, British school.
Mm-hmm.
And the little bit of magic and world building elements we get is how do the angels function and what are the sins and virtues, and them kind of being so flippantly open about them being angels, but the humans always rationalizing their way out of them actually being angels. Like, oh yeah, whenever they'd mention the word angel, one of the characters go like, angel, going, yeah, look, isn't she just such a nice person, an angel? They're very open about being angels in the first place. Just, you know, quirky. It's there for the atmosphere. It's world building isn't a feature, I don't think. It's just a tacked on layer. It doesn't go that much deeper, but you get, I guess if there's anything that could have been done better, what would you have done? What would you have wanted more of to make it more immersive?
I would have appreciated maybe a bit more details on the whole, the sin total and going. So to give an example of comparison, the system of, you know, well, the sin total matrix or whatever it's called, in The Good Place, they have the same thing of any action that a human does will have a point value system, you know, negative, positive, and whether you get into heaven or not is based on that point total.
Mm-hmm.
However, at least with The Good Place, you go a little bit into why that type of system doesn't seem to function. Because that's what this book is trying to get into. Like, this point system is not quite right. Why? And we have the best example of the chocolate one. Well, why? In The Good Place, there's a better example of, like, someone buying a tomato.
Mm-hmm.
And via the point system, because human life is so complicated, buying that tomato from, you know, regular grocery store of where was that tomato purchased? That tomato is actually grown overseas, like slave labor, using pesticide groups supporting X group or whatever have you. Like, just this long chain of minor infractions and things that you are supporting by just buying a tomato. And so it becomes so complicated that no human being could actually live a virtuous life because of all of these unintended consequences from the point system. So I liked that a lot, and that's gone into more detail. I would have done a bit more of that in this book to get me more invested into particularly why Gadriel actually fell as an angel. Because in this one, I'm like going, okay, I get it, the chocolate thing, but really, that it?
Yeah.
I would want more.
Mm. Yeah, it seems more there for the quirk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More quirky rather than substantive.
Definitely.
To get you invested into the world.
And as far as the school went, anything with the setting itself?
It's fine, school. I guess. It was school.
Cool.
Yeah, that's about it. I don't have much to say about the world, really.
If anything, like, I kept forgetting it was British. I was like, wait, I didn't know. Yeah. I was like, oh, we're in Britain. We're not in America. But then you have the American social media mom stuff, and I kept jumping back and forth because in my head,
also a lot of French,
and some French stuff. Yeah,
yeah, that kind of takes you out of, like. Yeah.
The British, they banned French people a long time ago. Why is there a French?
Yeah, no, I would have expected more pushback.
Yeah,
of, like,
what the hell?
You know, someone speaks French and everyone there would be like, get out. You're not allowed. None of that here. Go back across.
Okay, what did you give? Anything else for World?
No, that was about it.
What did you give Prose out of 5 stars?
Prose, I thought was good. 3.5.
Yeah, I gave it 2.5. Disappointing.
Disappointing?
Yeah.
Makes sense with the overall score, especially the jokes not landing for you. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the thing I read before of, like, the final message, I think it's takes these heavy subjects that could come across as very cringe, handed it with grace and good humor, but let the actual weighty moment sit. I think the prose was actually really well done, along with the dialogue. I was really shocked. I actually really like the dialogue in this book. So, and that's often that is the number one flag or sticking point that I find with most indie published books, or even if it's traditionally published, someone's first book.
Mm-hmm.
It's the dialogue that's how I can normally tell that it's either indie or it's a first published book.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the dialogue was really well done in this book. I probably wouldn't have been able to tell.
I guess the only thing with the dialogue for me was sometimes it was maybe on the nose is the wrong way to put it, but it summarized so much of the not dialogue, so the regular paragraphs, that sometimes, like, I'd read a paragraph, then read the dialogue, and the dialogue's repeating the information from the narrative itself. So sometimes the dialogue would be repetitive of what we were already just told. So it was like the paragraph happens and you're told this and the dialogue reconfirms what the information we just got. So it's more so what information are you getting in the dialogue of that not being
not
new
being
information.
As tight as
yeah,
it could be.
Yeah. It's just being like, okay, paragraph is explaining what's happening, but then also the dialogue's saying the same thing. That was the more issue I had with it. Also, jokes didn't land for me, so on the lower side for this one. But otherwise, I liked the character descriptions, even early on, too, of getting the character descriptions of Gadriel and of Holly. And that still, I could see it in my head. The way that Holly was described with this mountain of a nose with freckles on it and very stuck out with some descriptions, which was neat.
I agree.
So, that was our small review of Small Miracles. Let us know what you think down below about this book, SPFBO. We have five more. We're at the halfway point. Yep. We have five more to do. Sorry I wasn't as enthusiastic about this book. Honestly, I do like that a book like this I wouldn't have read because sometimes we have to review books on here that otherwise maybe I wouldn't have reviewed or done in the first place. So at least got to do something that otherwise wouldn't have. So that's cool.
Yeah, I'm happy to do this. Yeah. I'm very much enjoying this competition and judging a champions just because I'm reading books that maybe it would have been a lot harder to get to in the time. So I'm really happy we're going through these 10 books.
Mark Lawrence, who runs it, was super kind to invite us on. I don't know where he got a recommendation from, but I'm glad somebody told about us because it is very cool. We'll be doing the other five, and will Sword of Kaigan be top? That's the question.
I'll be honest.
I don't think so.
By Blood, By Salt has been creeping up closer and closer to Sword of Kaigan for me.
Has it?
It before, like when we first started, I was like, the gap is large. It's not that large for me anymore. The more I've sat with it, oof.
It's that good, yeah.
I gotta read book
two. By Salt's great.
I want to read book two so badly. I'm so excited.
We've been introducing some great books from this competition. So, all right, that is the video. We'll see you next episode.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.